Blog Talk Radio.
Cut the music up. A little louder. Yeah. You had a lot of crooks try to steal your heart. Never really had luck. Couldn't ever figure out how to love. Didn't last forever. Now you in a corner trying to put it together. How to love, how to love.
Arena Football Nation, welcome to the AFL League office in Chicago, Illinois. I'm Evan Vladim, and joining me, as always, is BJ Picard. BJ, how you doing on this edition of Arena Football Friday Radio?
I'm doing pretty well, Evan. It's kind of a gloomy day outside in Chicago. I'm not sure I like that, but it's never gloomy in the arena.
It's never gloomy. We never have to worry about that playing indoors. It was, 101 degrees yesterday in Chicago?
It's been hot this week.
I didn't know it got that hot in Chicago.
It does.
It's pretty crazy. I feel like I'm in Florida again.
Yeah, well, 70 and sunny in the arena.
So we have a great week 17 in store for you. A lot of stuff going down this week in the Arena Football League. We saw last week, we saw some records that were completely shattered.
Yeah, we had some great performances, especially from quarterbacks. Especially from quarterbacks in the West.
Oh, yeah, and what's new? I mean, those West Coast quarterbacks, I mean, that's the thing, not only with us, it's all of football. West Coast quarterback, the air out there. It's the air. I mean, the ball goes flying.
Apparently. But, Tommy Grady, Mark Greed, and Kyle Rowley all had very significant milestones this past weekend.
So, Rowley threw a record of 10 touchdown passes in the
12.
Game, 12 touchdown passes in the game, and Spokane put up 90 points.
Yeah, most ever for Spokane, most ever passing touchdowns in a game for Rowley, and the most points ever scored against a Sabercats team. So, lots going on, and in that same game, you had Mark Greed finally tossing his 900th career passing touchdown, joining Clint Dozell and Aaron Garcia as the only men in pro football history to have achieved that milestone. So congratulations to both Mark Grebe and Kyle Rowley for their record-breaking performances.
And Tommy Grady also threw his 118th touchdown of the season in their victory over the Georgia Force. It was 83.9% completion rate in that game.
Isn't it crazy? Tommy Grady, 118 passing touchdowns in 15 games. That's amazing. He's going to shatter all the passing records this year. Tommy Grady is having the best season we've ever seen from an Arena Football League quarterback. And the thing is, it doesn't matter how many games they've been playing, because at 12 games, he would have broken all the records for players with 12 games, 13, 14, now 15 games in, and they have a bye week this week to prepare for Arizona. So that Week 18 matchup next week is going to be huge for both Utah and Arizona, because Utah is still in the hunt for the division championship.
And Coach James didn't want that record lingering over during the bye week, and he kind of ran up the score last week, but he gave fans a chance to see a record-breaking performance from Tommy Grady. And you got to wonder what he could have done last season. He got hurt late in the year. He was on pace again to shatter that record. He was unable to do so due to that injury that put him out for the remainder of the season. Congratulations to Tommy Grady for getting it done this year and still got games to play.
Definitely. And Utah is celebrating their first winning season in franchise history, which is very impressive. And it happened in their 100th game in front of their hometown crowd. And like you said, that's the reason why Coach Ron James wanted Tommy to break the record this past weekend, because they were in Utah and they had the bye week coming up, and they're going to be traveling to Arizona next week. So it's very cool to see Tommy Grady do that, and watching him this year has just been great. You know, whether it's the receivers they've got there or the coaching he's receiving from Matthew Sauk, the offensive coordinator, in any case, it's fun to watch. And that Week 18 matchup next week with Arizona, Nick Davila, it's going to be something to watch.
Guys, we appreciate you listening to the show. You want to tune in, you want to give us a call, give us a call at 347-324-3225. That's 347-324-3225. You can also tweet at us, tweet us questions, comments, AFL @ArenaBall on Twitter. We'd love to hear from you. So we'll start things out with the coaches poll this week, and the top five spots remain unchanging. We saw the Rattlers hold possession of that first place mark with 11 first place votes, and we also saw the Philadelphia Soul coming in at second place, and the Philadelphia Soul already clinched. They clinched the division. They clinched home field until the Arena Bowl. They got 4 first place votes from their coaches. You know, are they not getting that respect out there in Philadelphia?
I think it's the conference. You look at the teams in the National Conference, and everybody is neck and neck, and there are so many good teams. In the American Conference, it's a little different, where you got Philadelphia, who seems to be head and shoulders above the competition, and you got teams in the South Division that are eking it out, but they're all about 500. So Philadelphia might be a great team, but I think the coaches are saying, well, you know, look at who you're playing. These teams don't have the same records as the teams over in the National Conference.
I agree. I mean, it's definitely said in the record that it's a much harder conference out there in the West. You also saw the San Antonio Talons in that National Conference put together the 8th consecutive victory, and that's another team that is making some noise with Aaron Garcia, who can get it done year after year, the ageless quarterback.
Yeah, and he was helped out this past week with Jason Willis coming back from IR. Jason Willis had been on injured reserve for the last several weeks, came back, scored 3 touchdowns. That's going to help them. But, yeah, San Antonio's feeling like they aren't getting the respect they deserve. We'll see. They play Arizona again in a couple weeks here.
Week 17 is here. Just under a month before the playoffs officially begin. I asked you this last week. I'll ask you again. Who do you have in the Arena Bowl?
See, it's a tough one because it seems to change so much week from week. You know, because Utah, they're very hot right now, but in the middle of the season they had kind of a cold stretch where we were like, well, maybe this isn't a playoff team. Now, again, they're looking like they are. Those teams in the West, you got Spokane, who knocked off San Jose last week. Maybe they're going to do it again to Arizona this week. You never know what could happen. Chicago and San Jose are a great matchup this weekend, probably the matchup of the weekend, because one team is probably going to make the playoffs and the other team probably isn't. So the winner of that is sitting pretty. The other one, they're going to have their work cut out for them. So it's tough to pick still. I don't know. What do you think, Evan?
I'm liking San Antonio, Philadelphia.
Fair enough. Can't argue with it.
San Antonio, if the playoffs would end today, they would have the number 2 seed. Arizona would be number 1. Philadelphia, number 1, like we said, have already clinched. But it is interesting out there in the American Conference. You have the Jacksonville Sharks, you have the Georgia Force, and you have the New Orleans Voodoos. These teams are still sticking into it, and they're all led by young quarterbacks.
Yeah, you think the Voodoo can maybe have a home Arena Bowl? They're in the playoff hunt now.
Certainly, and could you imagine that those hometown fans in New Orleans cheering on the New Orleans Voodoo from the graveyard?
It's certainly an interesting atmosphere down there. It'd be fun, but they'll be in the hunt, and we'll see what happens.
So it's between Kurt Rocco, Bernard Morris, and then the Georgia Force, R.J. Archer, still with the Detroit Lions.
Yeah.
I wonder how our boys liking it out there with Detroit. I mean, getting to know Matt Stafford a bit.
Hey, they got a pretty good receiver there, too, to throw to, Calvin Johnson. But, yeah, Georgia's got a couple question marks at quarterback.
And if the San Antonio Talons win this weekend over Kansas City, they will indeed clinch a playoff spot, and they would be the second team to clinch. The Philadelphia Soul already have done so. The Arizona Rattlers can also clinch a playoff spot. They need a win, and they need San Jose to lose this weekend against Chicago. And that San Jose-Chicago matchup will be a doozy.
It's going to be huge. San Jose and Chicago are two teams that don't typically lose at home. Chicago's got the home matchup this time. San Jose has to win to stay alive in that playoff hunt. By the same token, so does Chicago. That makes for a pretty good football game. Arizona can clinch a playoff berth with a win and a San Jose loss, but they can't wrap up the division. That's still going to be decided later in the year. So, in any case, everybody seems to have to win.
Give us a call at 347-324-3225 if you want to participate in the show. BJ's the stat king. You have a question about any stats, you go ahead and give BJ or I a call and answer anything you'd like, anything interesting you like. Feeling a bit different from last week. It's like we said, it's gloomy outside, and I didn't drink my Evite caffeinated water before today's show.
You got to hit the Evite up.
It
keeps you awake, keeps you energized, keeps you sharp and focused. That's what I think.
So you got 4 Evite vitamin waters last week. You said you were going to go home. Did you drink them all in one sitting?
I did not drink them all in one sitting. I spread it out, but I noticed I felt good about life. Felt alert.
Huh.
Yeah.
Felt great about life with Evite and vitamin water.
Yeah.
They need a new marketing.
It's got a little bit of an aftertaste to it. I can't really describe it. It tastes like normal water, but then again, it doesn't. I don't know how to describe it.
You like it?
Yeah. Yeah.
You got your girlfriend drinking Evite?
Yeah, Holly loved it.
Wow. You know, I'm going to go get myself an Evite right after the show.
Yeah, maybe get yourself a girlfriend, too.
I need one of those. Yeah. I guess. I wonder if those work hand in hand, Evites and girlfriends.
I don't know. Well, you can be our case study.
So we're late in the season, and we have a lot of these matches. We said the Soul have already clinched. I talked to Doug Plank. What are they playing for? They clinched home field throughout the postseason. So what are they going to do? Would you go into the postseason? Would you go in and rest your players? Or are you going to play them out the next – they have 3 games remaining. Would you play them out for the remainder of the postseason – or, sorry, regular season and keep them fresh going to the postseason?
Well, I mean, with the Arena Football League rosters, I think it's tough. Because on one hand, yeah, you have everything wrapped up. You want to rest them because you don't want to risk injuries. But then again, who are you going to play, you know?
Yeah. And Doug Plank had something similar to say to me about that.
I don't really buy into that program, rest everybody and play somebody else. I think momentum is so important, whether you have it or don't have it. So we have no intention of resting anyone. We're going to continue to play all of our starters through the end of the season.
So they will continue to play that starting core through the remainder of the season. You expect, I mean, some guys might see some time, but we'll see. You got to keep your quarterback out there. You got to keep that backup out there. We just had a caller. The caller, we had him on hold, and they didn't want to hold. They didn't want to listen to Doug Plank. So, hey, 954, give us a call back. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to hear what you're thinking about, what's on your mind in Arena Football League action. And remember, give us a call at 347-324-3225. That's 347-324-3225. We'll get you in. We'll get you on quickly. We promise you that. So like we said, we saw some incredible performances this week in the Arena Football League. Tommy Grady breaking the single-season AFL passing touchdown mark with 118. He was awarded the Russell Athletic Offensive Player of the Week. The Rydell Defensive Player of the Week went to LaRoche Jackson out of Jacksonville. He recorded a team-high 10.5 tackles to go with 2 interceptions and 3 pass breakups. He also had a forced fumble in the Sharks' victory to keep them alive in the playoff race.
4 interceptions over the last 4 games for Jackson.
What a performance. And that defense is going to be key for the remainder of the season. I mean, you have Bernard Morris's running game out there. And
I mean, it's been a change from the beginning of the season because the start of the year they had trouble getting turnovers. They brought Mishai Robinson back. I think that helped out a lot, the familiar face in the defensive secondary. And LaRoche Jackson is one of the better Jack linebackers, defensive backs in the game. So it's been good to see the defense come around helping out that Jacksonville offense.
We saw Reggie Gray back on the radar this week. He earned not only the JLS Iron Man of the Week, he recorded the Cutter's Catch of the Week. He scored 5 times in Chicago's 59-41 victory over the Kansas City Command, and that's a game you do it in.
Definitely. Reggie Gray, living up to that big play nickname.
Big play, Reggie Gray. He also made an outstanding catch. AFL Playmaker of the Week was Kyle Rowley, who, like we said, had 12 touchdown passes. And we'll go to a caller from the 772. How you doing today on Arena Football Friday?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing all right. Who do we have call on this very show?
Ryan from Chicago.
Oh, Ryan, how you doing? You excited for week 17 of the Arena Football League?
I am.
You looking at any games?
What do you think how do you think the Chicago Rush are going to do this week?
I mean, they do have a tough matchup against the San Jose Sabercats. It's going to be tough and has a lot of playoff implications to this one. Like we said, a win by the Chicago Rush will give – and an Arizona win will put Arizona in the playoffs. And
right. I mean, the winner of the Rush game will probably make the playoffs, and the loser of the Rush Sabercat game will probably not make the playoffs. Chicago hasn't lost at home yet. I like their chances at home. But
what do you think their biggest threat is?
Well, Rodney Wright joining the Sabercats again this past week, being a kick return threat and a receiver, I think he's somebody you got to watch out for. The Sabercats secondary has been banged up, but they get Andre Jones back this week. So those are two players that I would watch for San Jose.
And will you be out at the Allstate Arena this Saturday night for the big matchup?
I think so. Will you?
I will be there right in the press box. Come say hello to me.
Okay, I will. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks. Thanks for the call.
Love getting calls.
We love callers. We love callers' opinions.
Definitely.
That one had some questions. Didn't really have some comments, but any questions we can answer for you.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. We'd just love to talk arena football with you. I know for a fact that arena football fans are some of the most involved, passionate, and opinionated people out there, so we love to hear from you.
We also, fans can participate in something else other than calling into this show. We have opened up AFL Hall of Fame voting for our fans. Your vote counts! Vote today.
Definitely. Got 10 awesome candidates, 10 awesome finalists for the Hall of Fame. You can vote for one candidate per day. And I think, you know, we'll see some great players inducted into the Hall of Fame again this year.
Cedric Bonner, Mike Daly, Clint Dozell, Daryl Hammond, Randy Gatewood, Mike Hohensy, Greg Hopkins, founder William Nero, Bob McMillan, and Cleavon Thomas. And this class is going to be a great one. We inducted a class last year, the first since 2002, and we inducted all 10 members. This year we're going to be inducting 5. It's a hard list to choose from.
Definitely, definitely. I think the quarterbacks are shoe-ins. I think Bonner and Dozell get in, no question about it. I think Bill Nero is a guy that should be in as well, based on his service to the game, being one of the founding members. And past that, everybody's so deserving, it's so tough to narrow it down. I don't envy the fans or the Hall of Fame Selection Committee on their choice, because I think all those guys are so deserving.
Oh, they are, and it's a great list. Bob McMillan, it would be exciting. So he's still an active coach in the AFL, the head coach of the Chicago Rush. We have another head coach who's still active, Mike Hohensy, and Clint Dozell, the former quarterback.
Yeah, he's the coach now too.
Offensive coordinator with the Philadelphia Soul. So a lot of exciting things. And are these coaches looking at the Hall of Fame voting? You think they're getting on there on the fan voting, clicking away?
I don't know. I mean, I know how focused they are during the season, because what matters most to those guys, all three of those guys, is winning. So, you know, they're very much focused on getting their teams prepared week to week. But, you know, being in the Hall of Fame is certainly the greatest honor I think you can receive, you know, being voted as one of the all-time greats at what you do. So I'm sure they're very thankful to be on the ballot and very interested to see what the outcome is.
And we also had fans vote on the National Guard MVP. And the fans spoke, The award was given to Kyle Rowley, quarterback of the Spokane Shock.
Yeah, and we got a Twitter question regarding Mr. Rowley and Mr. Tommy Grady from Kim Kapper. Guys, do you think either Grady or Rowley's records will be broken? It's tough. It's tough to say. It's such an impressive accomplishment. Both of them are. But then again, we have seen all four quarterbacks in the West Division pass for at least 10 touchdowns in a game this year. So 12 isn't far off. Nobody's ever done 12 before, and that's why it's such a great accomplishment for Kyle Rowley. But we've seen guys get close. 118, which is the record now that Tommy Grady holds for passing touchdowns in a season, that's a phenomenal number. I mean, it really is. And the fact that Tommy Grady's done it in 15 games is even more incredible. But with an 18-game schedule, there's a possibility that maybe we see it. Then again, you still have to have such a great passing year to do that, because his numbers are just, they're outrageous.
I think the records will be broken again. I think you'll have these guys, these quarterbacks who are now young, I think they're going to be staying in the league for a longer period of time, developing as arena football quarterbacks. And since we switched the schedule to 18 games, you've seen guys these past 2 years get close to breaking those records. So I do indeed, unless Tommy Grady goes off in his last couple of games, I do indeed think these records will be broken.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that's part of the game. Fans, a few of them I've seen on the message boards and on social media saying, well, there should be an asterisk because they're playing more games. The NFL played a 12-game schedule until 1960 and then a 14-game schedule until 1978. Way back when, there was a guy by the name of Don Hutson who set all sorts of receiving records with the Green Bay Packers. And, I mean, those records stood for a long, long time. And a guy by the name of Jerry Rice came along and broke them all. Jerry Rice was playing in more games. He was also playing against some stiffer competition. But the fact that Don Hutson did it in fewer games and in an era where passing was not in vogue, it was a running game, it's more impressive. The same thing goes in arena football. You know, the guys who did it in 12 games and 14 games, that's incredible, you know, what they were able to accomplish. But that doesn't take away from the fact that Tommy Grady is doing this in 12, 13, 14, 15 games and still breaking the records. You know, schedules change, records are meant to be broken. Now let me ask you this, Evan. We had Mark Grebe join the 900 Club. Only three quarterbacks have ever done that. Do you think we're going to see any more quarterbacks join it?
He's been in the game for so long.
He has. John Dutton is at 700-some?
I don't think we'll see Dutton reach that number. I think Dutton's in his last year. I think he'll play another year after a disappointing season for Cleveland where they look like they were a shoo-in for the playoffs and then they dropped off. I think it's going to leave a bitter taste in his mouth. I think we'll see Dutton have one more year. He came back from that injury last year. He looks healthy. He's playing great. So I give him two more years. I don't think he'll break that mark. If we see guys like Dan Rodabaugh, if we see guys like a J.J. Rattern, if we see those passing quarterbacks stay in the league, and especially if J.J. Rattering's hitting up or with Jesse Schmidt year after year,
right. Then
yes, I think we can see these younger guys break those records.
Right. I mean, you got Nick DeVilla is some 300-some passing touchdowns in 3 years. So it's certainly possible, I think. But it's kind of fun to talk about. It's fun to see the records be broken.
What do you think? Give us a call, 347-324-3225. We are in the top 10 of the 25 greatest players in AFL history. And at number 9 was our boy, the recently inducted AFL Hall of Famer, Sam Hernandez.
That's only 59 career sacks. AFL leader. It's kind of interesting to see where the players are ranking on the top 25 list for all-time greatest players in AFL history, and then where they rank on, say, the all-Ironman list or the all-quarterback or receivers, because there seem to be some discrepancies. You know, there's some inconsistency. So it's interesting to know what the Silver Anniversary Committee is thinking when they go through and deliberate on who deserves this spot and why. Because, you know, when they're voting, there's really no set format. It's based on your own personal opinion. So the voting is just kind of interesting to see. It's interesting to see how it's shaking out.
Absolutely, and when it comes down to the top five, I'll be excited about that.
Yeah, and I mean it's fun to talk about because there are so many different angles you can take with it. You know, do you base it on wins? Do you base it on championships? Do you base it on game impact, era? There's so many variables you can go through. It's tough to narrow it down to, you know, who's number one. But all 25 of these players are awesome, great players, great for the game, great for the history of the game. I'm kind of excited to see some other lists that are going to come out with you know, top 25 games or top 25 teams, because those are different than the player lists, you know. So it should be fun to see.
It should be exciting. And I was watching a game, well, two games last year, I would say, that need to come in the top. Do you remember that Spokane Shock versus San Jose Sabercats game last year when we saw Rally, I believe it was Rally, who threw a Hail Mary with seconds left.
Yeah. Randy Hines.
Randy Hines.
Yeah.
Caught that ball, David Tyree style, in the end zone. It was a touchdown. That was an amazing finish. And then you can't forget about Arena Bowl 24.
That was one of the best football games I think I've ever seen. I've seen a lot of football games, and I'm talking any level, any genre of football. That was just a special game. Very fun to watch.
Will that game be number one?
I can't argue with it if it is.
Best game I've seen.
Yeah.
Best game I have seen. And
certainly a lot of good games. The couple games that come to mind, Kurt Warner's almost Arena Bowl victory against the Tampa Bay Storm in Arena Bowl 10. And the San Jose Arizona Arena Bowl. I don't remember the number offhand, but it was 69-62, San Jose, where Cedric Bonner, Hall of Fame candidate, pass sails just high over the receiver's head at the end of the game. San Jose wins it. It was 2004. But those come to mind. But certainly Jacksonville, Arizona, one of the best games I've ever seen.
So the Week 17 lineup tonight, we have the Philadelphia Soul sitting in at 12-3, already clinched a playoff spot against the Tampa Bay Storm, who are 6-8, and Dave Yort isn't talking playoffs right now. He's staying away from that. We have the Milwaukee Mustangs at 5-9 facing the Cleveland Gladiators, both struggling teams coming off losses. The Gladiators lost 5 in a row. That should be an interesting one to watch. I mean, they want to win. Both these teams want to win.
And Cleveland's not out of it. If Cleveland wins and Georgia and Tampa lose, Cleveland is back in the playoff hunt.
And that game is 8 p.m. tonight. Quickly run down the remainder of the games this weekend. We have the Jacksonville Sharks at the New Orleans Voodoo. Major playoff implications in that one. That one's Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern time. We also have the Orlando Predators sitting in at 2-12 facing the Georgia Force. The Predators are looking for a spoiler against the Force. That one will be a Sunday matinee for you.
First win of the season for Orlando is against Georgia.
We have the Arizona Rattlers against and Shock. That is the game of the week, I would say. You have the Kansas City Command sitting at 3-11 at the San Antonio Talons on Saturday, June 30th at 8 p.m. Eastern time.
San Antonio wins, they're in.
And the game that will be at the San Jose Sabercats at the Chicago Rush, that one is Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern time. And like we've been talking about, that one is, you win, you're in.
Very likely.
At least
very
that's
likely.
What it's looking like.
You lose, you're probably out.
And Saturday, the last game on the plate is Saturday, June 30th, the Pittsburgh Power at the Iowa Barnstormers. Arena Football Friday, Net 10 Arena Football Friday tonight, Milwaukee Mustangs at the Cleveland Gladiators. Like we said, the Gladiators aren't out of it, so make sure you tune in to NFL Network. We'd like to thank you for tuning in. This was another edition of Arena Football Friday Radio. I'm signing off.